Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Ecom Sales Tax Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Johnson. I'm here with Dan Peisner. Howdy, Dan.
Hey there, Andy.
How's it going, Dan? I am joining you here at Worldwide HQ of Peisner Johnson here in Dallas. It's a little bit cold here in Dallas.
Well, we normally like to give you a warm reception, but December's just not the month for it, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I have, as you know, I lived here for 27 years, so I'm very familiar with what happens here and the weather here. One day it can be 75 in December, and next day it can be 15. And I'm here, as you know, Dan, for a conference tomorrow, all-day CPE conference, hosted by CPA Practice Advisor, and speakers coming from all over the country. A few years ago, when I was living here and participated in this, we had an ice storm, and I had to drive all the way from 60 miles south of Dallas in the ice. And the show must go on, though. But I don't think we're going to have any ice tomorrow, though.
They haven't predicted it as of yet, so you should have a safe and skating-free adventure getting to the studio tomorrow.
Yeah, should be good. So hopefully everybody can tune in to that if you have an interest in CPE credit. It's always kind of a fun thing to do. But speaking of cold weather places, Dan, so this podcast is for e-commerce businesses trying to stay on top of all of their state and local tax obligations, and for e-commerce business advisors. So we have kind of on this cold winter day, especially cold in Wisconsin, we have some hot information that we need to share with people, because Amazon has just notified their Amazon sellers that here's another state that they're going to turn over your information to them. Dan, tell us what Amazon has agreed to turn over to Wisconsin.
Well, Andy, so far it seems that Amazon has agreed to turn over names, addresses, FEIN, as well as all of their 2017 Amazon sales data, and as well as any information on sales tax collected.
Let me share the notice from Amazon Seller Central. Here it is. And let me see if I can make that a little bit bigger. There you go. Let me make it a little easier to see. That one, this one. So, by the way, welcome to all of our Facebook viewers, assuming there are anybody. So this is not only a podcast, but it's live on Facebook, and I assume YouTube Live also. So Dan, here you go. That is the here is the notification. So go ahead. Sorry for the introduction. Whatever I just did.
Oh, no problem. So it looks like they're basically getting your sales data for the 2017 calendar year, as well as whether or not or what tax, if any, has been collected. And anytime that the state does this, we always get a lot of questions. What does this mean? What are they doing with this information? Should I be worried? And we just like to address those questions first off. If you are registered and if you've been reporting sales and use tax, then you really don't have anything to worry about, because the state is already going to have that information on file that you collected and you remitted. They can match that up.
You potentially have a small worry, because let's say you just registered July 1, 2018. And how long has Wisconsin been been an FBA state, meaning there's distribution centers where you potentially had inventory? How far back is that?
They've had, based on our information, they've had an FBA warehouse as far back as 2015. So you're right, Andy. There is a small worry there, But one thing that is absent from this information is what inventory, if any, you had during the 2017 year. So that is something that Wisconsin would have to, they could decide to send you a Nexus questionnaire or other informational document to determine if you did have inventory there, but they're not gonna get that information right off of this. And
Wisconsin, I assume, and if you disagree, let me know, but I assume, so Wisconsin says, give me this information. And so they're trying to pick something that is easily done for Amazon, because really all they need is, if someone had sales in 2017, I just need to know who that was. And then I can just send out a notification to these people saying, hey, I understand you had sales in 2017. Tell me everything you've done since 2015. When did you first have inventory in our state? You know, just ask those type of questions.
It is possible, but I do know we have seen other states subpoena and subsequently obtain inventory data. So it is something they can give out, and I think you're right, that is ultimately a question they can ask. I think of the bigger concern is occasionally you get somebody that will they mean to get registered in Wisconsin, and they may send the registration in or begin doing the registration, but then they will turn on tax collection in Wisconsin for Wisconsin and Amazon, usually by entering some kind of a temporary or just a place filler number, which is you're supposed to change out as soon as you get that permit number. And a lot of times we have had occasions where clients, for whatever reason, did not follow up on that. And we come to find, usually we've gotten involved after the fact on this, that they've now got tax they've been collecting and have not turned in. And those, if they see tax being collected and they do not see a permit number, you can bet that there's going to be some very pointed questions from the state on that.
Gotcha. But by and large, so what I think is interesting about this, or potentially scary, you know, we're treating this like it's not such a big deal because we've seen these now repeatedly, but really it's quite shocking in the overall perspective of things, because you have Amazon just agreeing to turn over your contact information. And Amazon is also going to turn over what sales you had during 2017 and what tax you remitted. So think about that. If you're Wisconsin, you get this information saying, give me every seller that had sales in 2017 that collected no tax. Boom. Also, they're asking, as you mentioned, their tax ID number. So I just think that this type of thing is just another situation where states have really got the upper hand. It's so easy for them to find sellers.
Oh, I agree. I think Amazon went to the mat with Massachusetts, and they tried to, because that was really the first state to do this, and they fought pretty hard in Massachusetts, and eventually they got to the end of the line, and the court finally said, it's something that you've got to do. We had several people from Amazon that were from their tax department. I saw at a tax conference when they were, after Massachusetts had won that disclosure, and they wanted to be very clear that they did try to fight it, and that they ultimately exhausted their appeals options. So I think they went to the mat with Massachusetts, and then in these subsequent states, we hadn't read as much about it. So I don't know if they fought as hard, or if they've just kind of decided that they may have internally decided that they're just going to have repeats and have gone the more expedient path of disclosing when they get assuming that the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed by the departments of revenue. Mm-hmm.
I would think though, that if you, let's say you registered in 2018, but you've been selling since 2015, you're going to show up on that list, right? you're going to show up on the kind of the hot list of people who had sales but not collecting sales tax, which, by the way, is probably, I don't know, 95% of all FBA sellers in Wisconsin are probably not collecting sales tax there.
I think there's a chance of that, certainly. And the other, well, one of the things we don't know that's not said on here is whether this is limited just to FBA or if this is also going to include fulfillment by merchant. I would imagine it's not going to include Amazon vendor because that should all be resale. But there is definitely a chance that, and from we talked to our Amazon, our clients that use fulfillment by merchant, they don't typically get these emails. So it's possible that their data is not being included in this and that Amazon's trying to restrict it just to FBA, which is what the states are probably after. But that can always change in the future. And particularly with now that as of October of 18, Wisconsin did pass an economic nexus law. It's only a matter of time before when the states make these requests, they're going to start asking for that FBM data as well. So for those FBM clients of ours, don't rest on your laurels.
Right, right. Yeah. So Dan, let's talk about the seller who is not currently registered in Wisconsin, so the economic nexus law in Wisconsin is what right now?
The economic nexus law in Wisconsin is going to be, give me just a moment here, Andy.
Well, why are you looking that up? So there's two ways you have nexus as an Amazon seller in Wisconsin, two primary ways. One, you have nexus because they have a fulfillment center there, right, since 2015. So an FBA seller with customers in Wisconsin probably has nexus since 2015, assuming you've been selling since 2015. But an FBM, fulfilled by merchant seller, did not have inventory there, but effective when is Wisconsin's economic nexus law and what's the threshold?
October 1st, 2018. The thresholds are as with our good friends in South Dakota that have shown the way, $100,000 in gross sales or 200 transactions over a 12-month period.
Right. So it's the typical thresholds. So if you are an Amazon seller, FBM, fulfilled by merchant, or fulfilled by Amazon, you have potentially have exposure going back further. But FBM could have exposure going forward. So this is, you know, I don't want to minimize the seriousness of it. I don't want to overhype it because this is just another state who is turning over, another state to whom Amazon is turning over information. But it's so easy now for these states. Wisconsin is notoriously tough on audits. Dan, hasn't that been your experience?
Yes, they're difficult on audits. One of the things with Wisconsin is if they find you, they will go back to period, and they will they can impose penalties, and sometimes they're willing to waive them. However, they also impose interest, and unlike the when we talk about sales tax interest, a lot of states it's a low rate, particularly if it's pegged to the federal funds rate, which is run low historically because of the Fed's activities. And then there's what we call statutory states. They set their interest in law, and it was usually back in the 80s when interest rates were good. Right. And Wisconsin falls in that the latter category with an 18% interest rate. The most common comment that we get from our clients that get hit by that is, I can't get anywhere near that at the bank. So
right, exactly. And my comment on that is, they're probably giving you like airline miles or something.
Yeah,
with that type of interest rate.
They better be giving you something for it because it's
credit card. All right. So I'm an Amazon seller, Dan, and I'm sort of panicking right now because I'm not currently registered in Wisconsin. What do I do right now?
Well, first thing you should do is determine when did you first have that inventory touch the state, because that's if by some miracle Amazon didn't send inventory to the state until 2017, that's going to be your look back period. Economic nexus is brand new, so the inventory is really the one you need to worry about the most for right now. And then based on that, I would try to then try to determine what your potential exposure could be. And then if the dollar amount is fairly substantial, or if your look back is fairly substantial, you'll want to look into what's known as a voluntary disclosure, and see if by going to the state before the state comes to you, see if you can get a little bit of a better deal.
Okay. All right. So something that all e-commerce sellers should be aware of, all tax advisors should be aware of. Tomorrow we'll be speaking at the CPA Practice Advisor Conference, and I'm gonna make sure we mention that so that people are just aware of this and help their clients deal with this. So Dan, thank you very much for the update on Wisconsin, and we look forward to helping you e-commerce businesses with your situation if you need it, and hopefully this is helpful to you. So that concludes this week's episode of the Ecom Sales Tax Podcast. Dan, thank you very much.
My pleasure as always, Andy.
See you next time.